All the grown-ups may be seated. I invite all the children to come forward for just a moment. We just heard a story about how Jesus took a few of his disciples up on a mountain, and while he was up there, his face changed, and all of this wonderful light and glory shone around him. And the disciples didn't quite understand what was going on, and it was a little bit hard to describe. Have you ever drawn a picture of Jesus? I've drawn a few pictures of Jesus. Sometimes I think it's hard to capture Jesus in a picture, to really be able to capture what he was like. One of the oldest pictures of Jesus ever painted looks like this. They found it in the church in Sinai. And one of the things we believe about Jesus was that he was fully like us. He was a human being, just like you and me. And he was also fully God. Both of those things at once. It's kind of hard to understand. So this artist tried to paint a picture that might show a little bit what that was like. So I'm going to show you this really cool thing about this picture. This half of Jesus' face in the picture looks different from that half. You see that? So the artist felt like this half kind of shows Jesus' God nature, how Jesus is like God. And this half shows how Jesus is like us. So it's always good to draw pictures and to sing songs and to try to describe Jesus, but always to remember that there's so much more that we don't understand and that we don't have to capture Jesus. The most important thing for us to know is what, when they were on the mountain that day, the voice of God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." So let's make sure that we know how much Jesus loves us and do our best to listen to what Jesus teaches us and keep drawing those pictures. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, there's so much about you that we don't always understand, but we do understand how much you love us. And we know that you want us to follow you and do as you teach us to do. So help us to love you and to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to those of you who sang this morning. It was about 14 years ago that I had a profound spiritual experience sitting in a meeting of the Board of Ordained Ministry. It's kind of funny, isn't it? What in the world is the Board of Ordained Ministry? Well, Erin Racine now sits on that board, so she could tell you a little bit about it. But back when I was on it, it was about 35 to 40 clergy and lay people from United Methodist churches in the Middle Tennessee area. And we gathered once a year for a retreat during which we would interview people who wanted to be ordained as pastors. And it was our job to interview and evaluate them and discern whether they were called to serve as pastors in the church. So on this particular retreat, for in 2004, I think it was, we were meeting at a retreat center in Monteagle, up on Monteagle Mountain. And I arrived there, and all the members of the board were sitting around the tables, and we had our opening worship service, and then we got down to business, got down to work, talking about the interviews that were coming up the next day. So I was sitting there, looking around at everyone, when all of a sudden, it was like the room was transformed, and every person around that table looked absolutely beautiful to me. There were people of all ages and races and experiences and theological backgrounds, and it was as if it was a glimpse of the kingdom of God in all of its beauty and diversity. And I was just filled with this overwhelming sense of God's love for each and every person, just glowing through everybody. And I wanted to stand up and say, I love you guys. This is so, do you see it? Do you see the beauty inside each and every one of you? Do you feel God's love? Do you realize that we are such beautiful creatures in the sight of God? Can you see the kingdom of God? But as quickly as the feeling had come upon me, it departed. And I didn't stand up, and I didn't say anything. I think I went home after that weekend and told David about the experience, but other than that, I really didn't talk about it that much. And as the days and weeks went on, I started to question it. What was that all about? Was that just sort of a daydream? Was it the sausage biscuit I had that morning for breakfast? Was there just something weird going on? But over the years now, as I've had more time to think about it and reflect on it and pray about it, I think what that experience was just a momentary glimpse of the eternity that is always around us every single moment of every day. A snapshot of the kingdom of God. For just a moment, the veil lifted and I saw the big love and felt it. Maybe you've had an experience like that before. For many people, it's at the moment of the birth of a child. If you've experienced the birth of a child, there is often this connection with all that is and the eternity and the love of God that envelops us all. For some who've had the privilege of sitting at the bedside of a person who's making that journey from this life to the next, there is a moment when the veil lifts and the presence of God is palpable in a powerful way. I was at a workshop this week on Monday with Tom Long, who's a professor of preaching. He's retired now, but he most recently was teaching at Candler School of Theology. And he was talking about something entirely different from this story in Mark's gospel, but he gave this image that I felt fit perfectly with the story today. Imagine a sewing machine. And I have to imagine one because I don't have one and I've never used one, but I know how they work. With a sewing machine, you have the fabric that's always going through the machine, and that's like our time, our day-to-day living, ordinary time. But periodically, the needle of that sewing machine pierces through the fabric. Every now and again, eternity breaks in on our daily lives. Every now and then, the kingdom of God becomes visible right in front of us. It is always around us, always closer to us than our next breath, but we can't always see it. We don't always feel it. But there are those moments when we do and we can. And how do we make sense of those? I think what we have in this story of the Transfiguration is one of those moments. The disciples are going up the mountain with Jesus to pray. He did this all the time. Sometimes he went by himself. Sometimes he took his disciples with him. This time he takes Peter, James, and John. I don't know if any of them knew what was going to happen when they got to that mountaintop. But as Jesus began to pray, the veil lifted for just a moment. And they saw not only their rabbi, their friend, their teacher, who they had been with all throughout Galilee all along, but they saw the eternal Christ, who was and is to come, the one who is in the Trinity from the very beginning and always will be. They saw Jesus, the Christ, in all of his glory. Eventually, the cloud lifted. After Moses and Elijah had come out of time to be with Jesus, and they all saw it, but the cloud lifted, and they went back down the mountain, and they did not know how to make sense of it for a long time. Now, some of us are here this morning and probably thinking to ourselves, you know, I've never had an experience like that. I don't know what that's like. I have felt that same way myself. And then I realized that with this story of the Transfiguration, there were 9 disciples who weren't there. 9 disciples just as close to Jesus as Peter, James, and John were, and for whatever reason, they didn't see what happened on that mountain. And Peter, James, and John didn't talk about it for a long time until after the resurrection of Jesus. But once that happened and they understood better what had appeared before them, they shared the story. And then it was no longer just their story. It became our story. It became a story of the church, so that now you and I can read the 9th chapter of Mark or the other accounts in the other Gospels, and we can hear about what they saw and what they experienced. We can see before us the glowing face of Christ and know that the kingdom of God is all around us, ready to be revealed at any moment. But it doesn't have to be this mystical, supernatural, extraordinary thing. Glimpses of the kingdom happen all the time, and we as disciples need to do what Peter, James, and John did and tell each other about it. Let me tell you what I saw. Let me tell you what I experienced when I saw the kingdom right in front of my eyes. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was in worship a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning. He's an Episcopalian, and a couple of rows ahead of him, two gentlemen came and sat down. And he said it seemed apparent that these gentlemen had come off the streets and had probably spent the night on the streets, had never walked in the church before. But as soon as they sat down, an usher came and gave them a bulletin. A woman went and sat down with them and showed them the Book of Common Prayer. And they were all worshiping together and standing up and sitting down and saying the prayers. And my friend said, I just realized in that moment, I'm in the middle of the kingdom of God right here. It's a simple thing, but he had eyes to see and the wisdom to name it. Another thing that Tom Long said on Monday was a quote he shared from a writer named Christopher Morse, who said, a disciple's job is to be on hand for that which is at hand, but not in hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus proclaimed. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is always around us, all of the time. The love of God is beyond time. The justice of God has already been accomplished. The compassion and grace of God is closer to us than we know. And our job as disciples is to be on hand at all times, to recognize and name those moments when the kingdom of God manifests itself before us. To be on hand, to name it for the world. To be on hand for what is at hand, but not in hand. We don't control the kingdom of God. It is not up to us to dole out God's love to those whom we think are deserving. We can't manage eternity. Peter tried up on the mountaintop as Jesus was being revealed in all of his glory. Peter said, "This is great. Let's build let's build 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and for Elijah. Let's stay up here forever. Let's hold on to this experience, Jesus." And I love how it says he was just talking because he was terrified. But we do the same thing. We want to capture, we want to manage, we want to control our experiences of God and those of others. But that is not ours to do. Our job is to be on hand for what is at hand, but not in hand. So here we are on the Mountain of Transfiguration, right before the season of Lent begins. And I think there's a reason why the church gave us this tradition of going up the mountain before we begin the journey to the cross. I think there's a reason that God called Jesus up on the mountain to remind him of the eternal presence of the kingdom, that everything was already accomplished. Because the road was about to get really dark. It was about to look like hatred was winning the day. It was about to look like injustice was victorious. It was about to look like hate had triumphed over love. And so these disciples and Jesus himself had this memory of the power and eternal grace and love of God to hold on to until the day of resurrection. That's our job, my friends, to hold on to the power and the promise of the kingdom of God, even if it looks like the darkness is winning. To be on hand for what is at hand, and to proclaim it for the sake of the world.